Morning. Today's daf is daf Chaf Hei in Zvachim. We're finishing up the sugya in Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, and we'll start the next sugya in the new Mishnah of the second parak. Second Mishnah of the second parak. We learned yesterday. We were talking about right-handedness yesterday, and we talked about the necessity and the requirement of doing the avodah with your right hand. And there is a machlokus in the Mishnah between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon vis-a-vis what if the Kabbalah Saddam, what if the receiving of the blood is done with the left hand. So Tanakam says that's possible, it's disqualified, and Rabbi Shimon says it's kosher. Yesterday we went through the machlokus between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon exactly as to what they are arguing about. It's based on how to darshan psukim, the pasuk in Perek Dalet of Parshas Vayikra, Sefer Vayikra. Talks about the carbon chatas, and pasuk goes like this. Just a quick review of the basic points of yesterday. Pasuk goes like this. Just give me a moment to find it. Here, talks about the bringing of a sheep towards the carbon chatas. So the Torah describes the v'lakacha koin midam chatas betzbal, and the kohen is going to take the blood with his finger. He's going to place it onto the corners of the mizbah. The as called amay yishpoch, and the rest of the blood you're going to pour v'al yisod mizbech into the yisod mizbech. The Gemara basically said like this, that the word etzba means finger. We know etzba means right finger. Again, everyone agrees to that, that etzba means right finger. And it's just a question of the right finger requirement. What's that going back on? It's going on the v'lakacha kol midam achatas, which is the beginning of the pasuk, which the Tanakhama says it is. So that means that the Kabbalah has to be done with the right, and the application has to be done with the right. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, it only goes on that which it comes afterwards, meaning the right after the word Betzpo, we have Benasana Karnasa Mizbeach Ola. You place it on the horns of the Mizbeach. So that's where you need right. But anything prior to that, you don't need right. Okay? And that's what the Gemara said yesterday. And that was basically the wrap-up of the machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon in terms of doing it with your right. Let's start again today from the two dots on Chav Dal Amud Beis. I'm a Rabbi Barachan, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Makum Shenemar, Etzba V'Kuhuna Ina El Yamin. So Rabbi Barachan quotes the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Anytime you find in the Torah the words Etzba and Kuhuna, so that's talking about your right hand. Now the Gemara tells us right away that this, what we originally understand Rabbi Yochanan's statement to be is that the conjunction between the two words is and. It's got to be, the Torah's got to say both Etzba and Kuhuna. And once the Torah tells us both those words, in other words, if you do your word searching, you find both of them, so that means it has to be right. Tar to be inan kedichsiv lakach hakoin midam achatas be'etzba'o. So the Torah says, look, here's a pasuk where it describes the Kohen taking the blood. And you have the word Kohen, and you have the word etzba, and v'yalef mimitzorah. And now that we have these two words put together, so we're going to learn that from mitzorah. Dichsiv tevala Kohen etzba'o hayamanis. The Kohen is going to take his right finger. So thereby, mitzorah, the Torah tells us straight out that it has to be your right finger. So that now creates a precedent that anytime you have the two words, Kohen and etzba, it means right finger, period. Okay, so the Gemara right now tells us that in our Havamina, we're assuming that you need both words. You need the words Kohen and Etzba, and that creates a default assumption that it has to be right. Bahari Kemitza, Deloksiv Be'ela Kahuna. The Gemara says, what about the Avod of Kemitza? Kemitza is a flower offering where the Kohen takes his hand, puts it into the flower, takes a fistful of flour, leaves open his thumb and his pinky. So it's the three middle fingers. Whatever he can cup in his three middle fingers, that's kemitza. Has to be done with the right hand, cannot be done with the left hand. V'tanan, we learned in the Mishnah in Menachos. We will learn the Mishnah Menachos. Kamatz b'smol pasul. If you do kemitza with your left hand, that's no good. And there's no debate about that. And by kemitza, you don't have the double kohen and etzba. So how do I know that? Ela amar Rava. O etzba, O kahuna. So Rava says either or. It could go either way. You can either have the word Kohen, or you can have the word Etzba, and either one will arrive at the conclusion that it has to be right. So Abaye says, again, that's not unilateral. Because we know that there's part of the avodah is that after you shech the animal, and you flay the animal, and you cut the animal up into pieces, you walk the parts of the animal over to the mizbeach. This is what's called holachas evarim. Well after the blood's been sprinkled now, this is the burning of the limbs of the animal. Now we know that the Torah says it has to be done by Kohen. Kohen walks the limbs of the animals over to the Mizbech. Va'amar Amar, Zu Olacha Sefer Kevasin. On that pasuk, it's already been established that that's talking about walking the limbs over to the Mizbech. Utanan, and another step to this question, Haregel Shel Yamin Bismolo, Uveis Ora Lachutz. And we know that when the Kohanim walked with the animals, there was a procession, it was a parade of Kohanim. And each Kohen would be holding two limbs, one in one hand and one in the other hand. And the Mishnayos in Tamid, and we saw this Gemara in Yom also, the Mishnayos in Tamid describe which Kohen is part of the parade and specifically which limb he's holding in which hand. But every Kohen is going to be holding two pieces of the animal, one in his right and one in his left. So the Gemara says, so I'm just simply bothered. Because you told me that every time the Torah says the word Kohen, that's code for right hand, not left hand. And meanwhile, when it comes to Halacha Sevarim, we know the Torah does say the word Kohen, and the Kohen is employing both of his hands, right and left. So the Gemara modifies. Ki amrinan o etzba o kahuna bedavar ha'akev kapara, dumya demitzora. So the Gemara modifies. You're right. This requirement of right hand is only by essential avodas. Avodas that are necessary towards the kapara. Look, the whole prototype, the whole reason we know this is based on the mitzora. And the mitzora, you need to go through the process of applying the blood to the mitzora, to his earlobe, to his right thumb, to his right toe, right? And the oil, same thing, earlobe, right thumb, right toe. It has to be applied by the Kohen, specifically with the Kohen's right finger, right hand. And that will give the mitzvah his kapara, his atonement. So we're only talking about those avodas which provide kapara. The non-essential avoda, like the walking of the limbs to the mizbeach, that's not part of the discussion. Okay, the Gemara says, fine. So I got it all. All the Torah has to do is just say the word kahuna. It has to be an essential avoda, and then it has to be done with the right hand. Meanwhile, Tanan, Kaba b'smol, Pasur, Rabbi Shimon, Machshir. So meanwhile, in our Mishnah, which is really the catalyst for this whole discussion, our Mishnah says it has to be done. The Tanakhama says it has to be done with the right hand. That's fine. But what about what about Rabbi Shimon? How do you understand Rabbi Shimon? So the Gemara says Rabbi Shimon tarti bai. So Rabbi Shimon requires both. Meaning for Rabbi Shimon, there's two requirements. The Torah has to say both Kohen and Etzba. If the Torah does not say both, then therefore there's no requirement for a right hand. Me by Rabbi Shimon tarti bai atani. Rabbi Shimon omer kol makom shenemar yad eino ela yamin, etzba eino ela yamin. So the Gemara says that is confounded by the other statement of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says Etzba is code for right hand. So the Gemara says, Etzba lo bai kahuna, kahuna bai etzba. So the Gemara says, okay, according to Rabbi Shimon, Etzba says it all. Meaning if the Torah says the word Etzba, that means right. If the Torah says Kohen, that doesn't necessarily mean right. Right? Kohen by itself doesn't mean right-handedness. Etzba means right-handedness, correct, right. But not Kohen. The Ela Kohen Lamali, so the Gemara says, so why then does the Torah go through the trouble of writing Kohen when Kohen doesn't signify anything? The Gemara says, that's not true. Biki hu nun. Kohen does signify. Kohen signifies has to be wearing his big day kahuna. Good. A little bit more to finish this discussion. The Hare Zrika de lo kasta bahu Ela kahuna. Okay, so according to Rabbi Shimon, if the Torah just says the word Kohen by itself, that's not significant for right-handedness. Kohen by itself doesn't mean it has to be done with the right hand. That's evidenced by the fact that according to Rabbi Shimon, the Kabbalah Saddam can be done even with the left hand. Fine. That cheats Rabbi Shimon. The Tanakhama disagrees. The Halacha disagrees. The accepted Halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon. But again, we're just trying to iron everything out. The Gemara says, Zrika Saddam, the sprinkling of the blood. V'tanan zarek b'smol, pasul. We learned in a Mishnah that if you do Zrika with your left hand, it's pasul. V'lo palag Rabbi Shimon. And in that Mishnah, you're waiting for Rabbi Shimon to say something, and Rabbi Shimon doesn't. Because by Zrika, the Torah only says the word Kohen. The Torah doesn't mention the word Etzba. So how come Rabbi Shimon's not arguing over there? So Amar Abaye palag b'braisa. So Abaye says he does argue, but not in the Mishnah, in the braisa. D'tan kibbo b'smol, pasul Rabbi Shimon machshir. Okay, period. Not period. Keep up a small pasul, Rabbi Shimon Machshir, Zarek a small pasul, Rabbi Shimon Machshir. Good. Now period. Okay? So now we have totally fleshed it all out. We've ironed everything out. So according to the Tanakhama, if the Torah says either the word kohen or the word etzba, that means right-handedness. It has to be done with the right hand. It cannot be done with the left hand. That is Shitas Tanakhama, Shitas Chachamim. That's essentially the accepted normative psak. Rabbi Shimon says, not necessarily. In order for it to be right hand, the Torah has to go out of his way and say etzba. Etzba is revelatory that it has to be done with the right hand. If it doesn't say etzba, if it only says kohen, it can be done even with the left hand. Ella. Hada Amar Rava. Four lines from the bottom of the page. An Chavdal Amad Beis. Yad Yad Lekemitza. Regol Regol Lechalitza. Ozen Leritzia. We have three Gzereshavas employed by the Mitzara. The Mitzara, we know, application of the blood and the oil is done on his right hand, on his right foot, on his right ear. And based on, and the Torah over there by the Mitzara specifically says right. Right hand, right foot, right ear. And the Gemara says that we're going to establish three Gzeirah Shavas from the Mitzara. One is Yad Yad LeKemitza. One Gzeirah Shava is that when the Kohen does his Kemitza, he does it with his right hand. Two, Rego Rego LeChalitza. When chalitza is done, chalitza by the sister-in-law, the chalitza is done by the sister-in-law, but the brother-in-law who refuses to do the mitzvah of yibum, and his sister-in-law then says to the brother-in-law, me'en yavami, right, my brother-in-law's refused, and they go through the process of chalitza. Part of the process is the removal of the shoe from his foot. Which foot?
Right foot.
Ozen, ozen l'ritzia. And when the Eved Ivri says, Ahavtis Adoni, I'm liking it over here. I like my indentured servitude life. And I'd like to stay, right? And you take his ear and you pierce his ear. So the Torah doesn't say which ear? Based on the Gzeirah Shava, right ear. So
how does this work?
Gzeirah Shava.
No.
No.
It's different. I'm saying everyone has two ozens. Everyone has three eyes. Everyone has two regals.
Right.
So how, see, I understand how Gzeirah Shava works. It's totally different.
Right.
So it must be that you're trying to tell you a code where it's connected. Well, how else? And these are weird things.
I understand, but you have to.
Mitzora is a weird. It's right. Sui generis. It's nothing like it. So there, it's right, but maybe in these other places, it's like, how else could the Torah refer to it?
Right.
Other than O's and regular and the eye.
Right. I was gonna. It's funny. You almost questioned me on terms of whether I should have used or not used the word Gzeirah Shava. Rashi uses the word Gzeirah Shava, but in other words, I guess what you could have said that without using Gzeirah Shava, you could have said the Torah is just helping us define. Right. In other words, by Mitzora, by the Torah saying Yad Yeminis. In other words, we now know that Yad is right.
See,
but it's not. I mean. Right, right.
And it's trying to say, no offense to lefties, it's trying to say that the stronger hand, you're doing something for God, you should use the more...
The dominant hand, right.
And that made sense, whether you have to have Kohen and Etzba, or just Kohen or Etzba,
right.
That made sense but this is Bichlal, the Mitzvah is not about doing service for Hashem. None of these things are about... These are all weirdos. You
know? Agreed. The only thing is...
They're all outliers that could be different. They're all outliers that could be different.
Right. Where else in halacha, I mean, I'm asking this question, you know, from a totally straightforward standpoint. Where else in the halacha do you have the ear? Where else in the Torah do we have an employment of the ear? I mean, I know we have it in Mitzara, and I know we have it by the Eved Ivri. Is there anywhere else in the Torah where you have...
That's
right.
Excellent reason why I might say that they might be different. Right.
Right. And the foot? And the foot in halacha? The
first time the Kohen was made for...
Oh, you also had an application on the ear?
Yes. Exactly.
Oh, right, okay. Yes. Done. Right. Done and done. Although you could say that that's a one-time event, but okay. It could be. Could be. Okay. So the Yad Yad L'Kemitza Reg Reg L'Chalitza Osan Ola Ritzia. So Lama Lima Dera Baba V'Chana Nafka. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Meaning, you don't need that anymore because once you have this rule that Cohen says it all, that the word Cohen means by definition right-handedness. Now again, Rav Shimon disagrees, but good. Right now we're in overview mode. Right? We're discussing Chachamim. Shitas Chachamim is that once you say the word Cohen, that's it. It says it all, right-handedness. So why do I need my Mitzorah now to be my role model, to be my prototype, my Gzeir Shava, if I know the Cohen by itself means right-handedness? So the Gemara says, Chad l'kometz v'chad l'kiddush kometz. So the Gemara says there are two parts of the kamitza. One is putting your hand in and taking the fistful of flour. Okay, that's kamitza, that's kometz. And then there's kiddush kometz. Kiddush kometz is the sanctification of the kamitza. Now what exactly does that mean? So Rashi says, Rashi, bottom Rashi over here on the page, b'kli sharishayeh b'yamish yochaz ha'klishu mekarish bo b'yado hayamanis. That when you're holding the kli, in other words, what you're going to do with this kometz is the following. You take the kometz, you put it into a kli sharis. Okay? Then you march the kli sharis up the mizbeach, and you burn the kometz on the mizbeach. Okay? We discussed at the beginning of the Masechta, we'll see it again, we'll see this time and again, the parallel between the shechting of a karban as a shechting of an animal as a karban, and the flour offering, where you can't shecht flour, but what you do is you take a piece of the flour, a fistful of the flour, and you bring it up in the mizbeach, and you burn it on the mizbeach. Okay, and so what the Gemara is telling us is that much like when I do when I shecht the animal, so I collect the blood in a bowl, so I gotta hold the bowl in my right hand, right? Similarly, when I take the kmitza and I put it into a bowl, the bowl's got to be held in the right hand. Now, by the way, if you're picturing this, you realize this all can't be done by one coin, right? Yeah, it can't be, because the coin is putting his fist into the bowl, taking out the coin. Now he has a fistful of flour, right? And now he's got to put into a klisharis, and he's got to hold the klisharis. So right, you understand, his hand is full right now, and he's got to hold the bowl with the klisharis. With your right hand. So it's clear, the Gemara doesn't spell this out, Rashi doesn't spell this out, but it's clear that you need two Kohanim in the process. You need another Kohen to be standing there holding the bowl in his right hand, and then the Kohen puts the contents of his fist into the bowl. Right, in other words, right, just like we'll learn later on this morning, the blood has to go directly into the bowl. The Kohen has to go directly into the bowl. Okay?
The bowl couldn't be sitting on something.
The bowls in the base of Mikdash, the Mishnah tells us that they didn't have a flat base. They were pointed. They're like the cups that you take off the water dispenser. So and by design, it was done by design. The Mishnah tells us, the Mishnah Tamid, Mishnah tells us that they never want anyone to put the bowls down. Blood will coagulate. Blood will. Okay. Anyway, so the good. So chad l'kametz v'chad l'kiddush kametz. Okay, fine. Ula Rabbi Shimon to by Kiddush Kometz. Now, Rabbi Shimon doesn't require this Kiddush Kometz, meaning we'll learn, Rashi points out, we'll see this in Menachos. Just it's almost the same page in Menachos that we are right now. According to Rabbi Shimon, you can take your Kometz and you don't have to put it into a Kli Sharis. You can just walk straight up the Mizbeach and throw it right onto the Mizbeach. So Rabbi Shimon to by Kiddush Kometz. Ula Manda Amal Rabbi Shimon Ami by Kiddush Kometz. Now, even that point, right, about Rabbi Shimon, that you could walk it up, that's debatable. The Gemara concedes it. Again, Rashi says when we get to Menachos, we'll see that inside. But by Kish Kometz, Bismol Achshuri Machshir, and he allows it to be done with the left hand. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, Kohen doesn't necessarily mean right-handedness. Yad Yad de Rav Lamali. So the Gemara says, why do I need the Gzera Shava of Rava? Meaning, according to Rabbi Shimon, what are you going to do with the Yad Yad Gzera Shava? Ila Kmitza Atzma, Mid Rav Yehuda Brei, De Rabbi Chia Nafka. The Amr Rabbi Yehuda Brei, De Rabbi Chia, Maitam, Mid Rabbi Shimon, De Amr Kra, Kodesh Kadashim, Hi Kechatas Kasham, Bala Ovda Biyad, Ovda Biyamim, Kechatas, Bala Ovda Bikli, Ovda Bismol Kasham. So we have another source that tells us that when you do Kmitza, you have to do it with your right hand. I don't need, according to Rabbi Shimon, the Gzera Shava of Yad Yad. And if it's for Kiddush Kometz, so the Mishnah Menachos tells us that, according to Rabbi Shimon, there's no Kiddush Kometz. Lo nitzrucha ela kometz minchas chote. I still need the Gzera Shava for one particular mincha, and that's the mincha of the chote, the mincha of the sinner. Mincha of the sinner could be our carbon olive yared, right? Our variable, our adjustable offering for someone who sins, where he is really indigent, where he brings a mincha, or it could be talking about the sota. Either way, so we know that by the mincha of the sinner, there's this concept that it should not be muhudar, shouldn't be nice, right? No hider mitzvah by the menachos. So I might have thought that that concept would even allow me to do kemitza with my left hand, right? Similar to what Rabbi Tershel said a couple minutes ago, that the left hand is just considered an affront. Again, no, not trying to disrespect left-handed people. I'm not trying to. I'm probably being successful in doing so. But it's just key comments like b'smol namitis kasher. I might have thought that, well, since anyway we don't want this mincha to be mehudar, we don't want it to be nice, so you know what? Do it with your left hand. It's fine. So kamash malan. So there, Rabbi Shimon will use whatever gzeirah shavah's left, whatever power's left in the gzeirah shavah, he'll use to tell me that even by the mincha of a sota, or by any sinner for that matter, I don't need the left hand. Period. Okay.
This no. opinion about Shimon by Kiddush Chametz means that the Kohen could actually be Kohen
and just walk right up. Correct.
And this idea about the head card and no dar is because it's supposed to be a simple offering?
Right. The Torah says no oil, no lavona, just as simple can be. Yes. Okay. Finally. Okay. Next Mishnah. The second Mishnah now in the second parak of Zvachim. It's been some time. Third Mishnah?
Rabbi Shimon was the second.
Oh, Rabbi Shimon was the second. Oh, okay, fine. Oh, and the Mishnah. Okay, good. Okay, it's been a significant amount of time. We have been on this Mishnah since Tesvav Amid Beis. That's 10 blot ago, a week and a half ago. So we started the second paragraph. Zvachim, we talked about how when you do Kabbalah's Dam, and from that point forward, it has to be with a Kohen, and a Kohen with no particular disqualification. We listed 10 back in the Mishnah. 11 if you count right-handedness, which we now know we should count. So let's count it. 11 in the previous Mishnah. Now, we are going along the process of the Avodah. There is Seder. There is definitely a lot of order over here, organization, in terms of the progression of the Mishnayos. And now the Mishnah talks about Kabbalah Sadam, the receiving of the blood. And
wait a second. A lefty who does everything with his right hand, is he a okay?
So I said already that a left-handed Kohen is a mum. It's a blemish. So he can't do the Avodah. So really, our entire discussion about left-handed is not talking about a left-handed person, but a right-handed Kohen doing it with his left hand. Okay. Nishbach hadam ala ritzva v'asva pasul. So the Mishnah gives us a very simple and straightforward halacha. What you're going to do is you're going to shecht the neck of the animal. The blood comes out. Remember, there was a heart beating and there was pressure, and so the blood is just going to start squirting out of the neck. And what you need to do is you need to collect that blood in a bowl. And what the Mishnah tells us is a very straightforward halacha, which is that if the blood goes from the neck of the animal to the floor, That blood is done. It's disqualified. I can't collect the blood, put it into a bowl, right? In other words, that spill is, you know, that's a spill that you would cry over. That's no good. It has to go directly from the neck of the animal into the bowl, into the mizrach. Now, before we move on to the Gemara, so let's make this point very clear. If it goes into the bowl and then the bowl gets spilled on the ground, that's not bad. That's fine. Meaning, then you could just simply collect the blood on the floor and put it into the bowl. But there has to be, in order for the Kabbalah's Dam process to work, it has to go from the neck of the animal into the bowl, and that transition has to be a smooth transition, where there could be no intervention at all between the neck of the animal and the bowl. Okay. Once in the bowl, so now that's good blood. Even if it spills on the floor afterwards, that's fine. Okay? Make the point clear. Rashi made the point in the Mishnah, and you'll see it does have that point has a lot of carryover. No, because these are all behemoths.
I'm talking about the correct animals, I'm saying.
Oh, by birds. Oh, I don't remember. The Gemara is going to discuss it for sure.
Because this blood just is thrown away? Because it must have been for every carbon, there must have been blood on the floor.
Correct, correct. The Mishnah Pesachim tells us, describes how they were knee-deep in blood. Because of all the animals that were shechted on Yudal Nisan. And they would much like they did on Billy Berman's farm, they flood the entire Zara and allow the blood to go out. But, Tan Rabbanan, V'lakacha, Kohen HaMashiach, Midama Par, Midama Nefesh, V'lo Midama Or, V'lo Midama Tamtis. So we're quoting Pesukim, we're darshaning. Now the first drasha doesn't really affect us, meaning our halacha of our Mishnah, but we quote the Braisa, and so therefore the Gemara quotes a snippet of the Braisa. So the first halacha is V'lakacha, Kohen HaMashiach, Midama Par. It's got to be from the blood of the bull, Midama HaNefesh. It has to be Dama Nefesh. We're going to see a lot of this, right? Blood is divided. Dama Nefesh is that first spurt that comes out. That's called Dama Nefesh. That blood is literally translates as blood of the soul, right? That's the blood in which the animal dies with. And that's the blood that you want to collect. That's the Dama Nefesh. After that first rush of blood, the blood starts, there's no longer any pressure, the heart's not beating anymore, and then the blood drips out. That's called Dam Tamsis, right? The dripping blood. That's not the blood you want. That's not the blood that's kosher. The blood that you want for the kapara, for the atonement, is the Dam HaNefesh. Right? When we get to Krisus later on, much later on, Zvachim and Achos, Chulin, okay, much later on. When we get to Krisus, we're going to be learning about also the separation of different types of blood, Dam HaNefesh, Dam HaTamsis, vis-a-vis the Isser in the Torah of not eating blood. Okay? And we'll also make this same type of delineation. But right now, we're not talking about the issue of eating blood. We're talking about the using of the blood for kapara. So the Braisa says it has to be Dama Nefesh. Dama Nefesh, not Dama Or, not blood from the hide of the animal, not Dama Tamtis, not that dripping out blood, but rather that first gush of blood that comes out after you shech the animal. Now, Midama Par, Dam Meha Par Yikablanu. Here's why we want this Braisa. We want it for this point right over here. Midam apart from the blood of the bull, and the Gemara says, V'lo midam, sorry, dam meha par yikablenu. It has to be directly from the bull. The blood has to go from the bull to the mizrach, to the bull, directly. Now, the isak edacha midam apar kidichsiv. So here's how we're gonna darshan. Okay? A lot of funny rules in terms of how we're darshaning this. First of all, why not work with the simple pshat in the pasuk? Because we're not saying the simple pshat in the pasuk. The simple pshat in the pasuk is midama par, some of the blood. Right? Mi means from the blood. So, and we have this all the time throughout the Gemara, throughout darshaning, that mi means from. Mina behema, right? It's a sample, not all of it.
What would I have said if it was the whole blood?
I would have thought that. Hold on a second. Right. So Isak adacha midam apar kidichsev midam vafilu mikzas dam some of the blood v'hamarav ashochit zarchi kabel es kol damo shapar shenamar ves kol damo yishpoch. We know the halachis, you have to collect all the blood. Now all the blood, again, remember, we're not talking about literally every ounce of blood that this animal has. Because there comes a certain point in time where the animal's dead already, there's no longer a gush of blood, and the remaining blood in the animal is now defined as Dam Tamsis. It's not Dam HaNefesh, we're only looking for Dam HaNefesh. But in that Dam HaNefesh, in that gush of blood that comes out, we want all of it. Well, the Gemara says, we know we want all of it, because the Torah says it's kol damo yishpoch. Now the Gemara says, now be careful, don't pull a fast one. Meaning, because that pasuk is not talking about the collection of the blood, that pasuk is talking about pouring the leftover blood onto the Yisrael Mizbeach. Ela mi dam apar, dam mi apar yikablanu. The kasavar gorin umosifin vidorshin. Now, okay, I spoke too soon. We're going to come back to that point in just a moment about that we're not talking about the blood that you're collecting, the blood that you're pouring down the yisod. Okay, but it works like this. Here's how the drasha works. Gorin umosifin vidurshin. Go back to the words. Look really carefully at the words. The pasuk says, V'lakach ha'kon ha'mashiach midam ha'par. Okay, so here's the process in how the Gemara is darshaning. Midam ha'par can't mean literally some of the blood. Because we know the halacha is all the blood, not some of the blood. So that can't be the translation of the pasuk, even though that's a simple translation. But it can't be. By process of elimination, just simply because we know it's not. In other words, we know from the halacha given over to us by Rav. Okay. So what we're going to do now is we're going to cut and paste. So funny, before computers, before Microsoft Word, I don't know how the Magid de Sher would explain this. But
how do you know everyone agrees to Rav?
I understand that, but I'm just telling you that this is...
How can you... I've seen a shechita before of behemakas to get all the blood. That blood is...
It's a tremendous amount. I mean...
To get all of it. It could have been that the pasuk means that all the blood called damo yishpoch, that all the blood that what that you had been makabel...
Correct. So...
This reading, Rob, is not the simple...
Understood. We're going to go back to that point in a moment. The Gemara is going to go back to that point. But... Again, the Gemara is making a fundamental assumption that's the case. You need all the blood. So now what we're going to do is like this. We're going to cut and paste. We're going to take the mem from dam, and we're going to move it. We're going to actually cut and paste it. So you take it out, you cut it out, and then you attach it to the next word. So that now the pasuk is going to read, dam meha pahen. Okay? And this is a concept called goren umosifin. Now we've had this before. It's not the first time. In the cycle of Shas. Right? But I'm saying we've had this idea before of going to Mosifin, of cut and paste. But the Gemara says because we can't read the Pasuk literally, because part of the fundamental assumption is that you do take all the blood, so now we're only left to figure what's with the mem. And so the Gemara says, well, we take the mem and we cut it out and we paste it. And now comes dam meha par. And now that you have that, so that's the source of the halacha, that the blood has to go from the neck of the animal directly into the bowl. This is a concept of goren umosifin.
Why in the world would that be? Why wouldn't the
how do you not use that?
Tom may have car.
So I don't know. I mean that's.
Why would it add? That's not the Zion's question. Why would it add the man then?
Right.
Where else would the blood?
Right. From? Right. And why would the Torah then write it in a way which is not to be understood, right? It's in a confusing manner. I'm okay. I don't know. All good questions. Gurna Masifim Vidarshan. Okay, and Gufa, and now the Gemara goes back for just this point of Rabbi Yehuda Merav, that you have to collect all the blood. Gufa, Rabbi Yehuda Merav, Ashochitzach Shikabel, as called Amo Shapar, Shenamar, the as called Amapar Yishpoch. So the Gemara says, Vahabi Shirayim Ksiv, the Gemara says, wait a second. Now the Gemara says, right, you're trying to pull a fast one on me because that's not talking about collecting the blood. That's talking about after the blood's been collected into a bowl, after you've applied some of the blood to the horns of the mizbech, we're talking about a chatos over here, then you pour the remaining part of the blood, and all the Torah is trying to tell us is that you pour all the remaining part of the blood onto the yisrael mizbech, onto the foundation of the mizbech. If you look carefully at the mizbech, from here it's hard to see, but if you look carefully at the mizbech, and it's also a top view, two-dimensional shot, there is a running foundation base along the Mizbeach. And when you're finished with the blood applications on the horn of the Mizbeach, you pour the rest of the blood onto the foundation of the Mizbeach. The Gemara says that's by Shirayim. So the Gemara says, Im eino inyan l'shirayim. So the Gemara says, okay, here's how we'll explain this. Yes, you're right. The simple pshat on the pasuk is talking about Shirayim. The halesa l'kule dam. But let's be honest with each other, says the Gemara. You don't have all the blood. Right? You're missing some of the blood. Of course you are, as Rashi explains. Because you took some of the blood and you applied to the horn. So when the Torah says, es kol damo, all the blood, you know we can't read it literally because you don't have all the blood. So taneu inyan bekabbalah. So the Gemara says, so once I know it's not talking about the Shirayim, so we're going to apply to a different area where I could take all the blood. And that's by Kabbalah Saddam, that's by the accepting of the blood. Okay, next. All right, so it's established through some very interesting concepts, some very new concepts, that the blood has to go from the neck of the animal directly into the bowl, okay? With no separation. Meaning, if it goes on the floor, that's no good. What we're essentially going to be discussing now is that it can't go anywhere else. Meaning, even from the bowl, sorry, even from the neck to the knife to the bowl, that's also no good. So in other words, you have to make sure that it's a direct stream from the neck to the bowl. Gemara goes on, Amar Rav Yehuda Mashmul, Hashochitzach Shiyadbiya Sakin Lamala. The knife has to be raised above. I'm not 100% sure what that means. Meaning, I don't have a good visual picture of how that works. Shechita, we know. Shechita is just simply you rub the neck, you slide the neck along, sorry, slide the knife along the neck of the animal. You want to cut the two pipes, the trachea, and then the esophagus, right? Obviously, you're going to hit some major arteries as well. And that is shechita. The Gemara says over here that the sakana has to be lamala, has to be above. So, again, I'm not sure. I don't have a good visual about this.
I think the angle of the knife, maybe.
Maybe the angle of the knife has to go up. Possibly, very possibly. But the idea is, I do understand the concept. The concept is that you don't want any of the blood, which is going to be on the knife. It has to be. In other words, there's going to be blood on the knife. You don't want that blood to go into the bowl. Because much like we don't want blood to go from neck to floor to bowl, we don't want blood to go from neck to knife to bowl. That's also no good.
So if as the blood spurts out, it bounces off the knife and gets into the bowl, that's unacceptable.
Seemingly. That's what...
What's unacceptable? The blood that went? What about the rest of the blood?
I mean, seemingly. I mean, that's the Gemara's point over here.
You don't want any chatzisa between the neck and...
Right. You don't want... Right. That's exactly the point. You want it to be direct.
Supposedly somebody goes directly into the bowl, but some... bounces on the knife and goes to the blood.
Right.
What happens to the blood? The blood is not acceptable? Is there a power of tumor to it? Or?
No, it's not tumor. It's not a question of tumor. No, it's a question of psul.
Why does that make it the whole thing possible?
Because of this requirement of dam me hapar. It has to be directly from the neck of the animal. Why?
What if the majority is like 99%?
Okay, that's a halacha question. That's something I can entertain. But, you know, the whys, I don't know. But in terms of the... In terms of Roe versus Miut, so we
is
could
that
we could
60-1
right or? we could use rules of Bittel, right? Bittel sounds like, and in fact later on in the Masechta we're going to talk about Bittel vis-a-vis other areas of the bloods, but okay. Shenema v'lakach midama par v'lo midama par v'dava achir. It can't be from the dama par and something else, meaning in this case a knife. Dam sakin b'may mekanech. Gemara has a funny question. How are you going to wipe your knife? What do you wipe your knife on? You can't hold the towel. It's funny. It's like, you know, the I'm not sure why the Gemara is so entranced by this question.
Can I do the skin of the animal?
I don't know. Something's behind the question of the Gemara, and I'm just not in touch with it. I'm not
assuming that the blood has to go somewhere.
I don't know.
Amar Abaye
b'sfas mizrach. So the Gemara says you use the outer perimeter of the bowl. The outer perimeter of the bowl is there to wipe the knife. Kidechsev kipurei zahav. In fact, the pasuk in Ezra describes the bowl as kipurei zahav. The word mechaper, it's funny, we always assume it means to atone. It literally means to wipe. The word lechaper, the Rav speaks about this in Al Tshuva, that the word mechaper means to wipe, to wipe it down. Rashi actually quotes a couple of Gemaras where you see the word mechaper used in this type of meaning. So it means to wipe. The bowl itself is your wiper. So you just simply rub the knife along the outside of the bowl in order to wipe it down. Okay. Amar Rav Chista Amar Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba Shochit Tzarech Shiyitain Ridim B'socha Kli. More on this topic. You should direct the main arteries of the neck. Okay, help me over here, just so I sound intelligent. Mm-hmm. What are they called?
Carotid.
So you take the carotid arteries, and you, once the animal shechted, you put them over the bowl. Now Rashi writes over here the following.
By the way, the carotid artery is always to the side. I mean,
that's why it's got to go like this.
Right. So in other words,
if you just simply cut the trachea and esophagus, the animal is not going
to
die.
Right. Correct. There has to be. Right. There is going to be severing of the arteries as well. It's interesting, by the way. When we get to Chulin, we'll discuss this a lot as well. In terms of, you don't have to. You don't have to.
Right.
But over here,
they don't die. I mean,
right.
Human being, we put what's called trachea. Like you put one in the trachea right over here.
Right. So when we get to Chulin, we'll discuss this. The act of shechita doesn't require a severing of the carotid arteries. But over here, in the world of shechting an animal for a carbon, we want the blood. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go for it. And the Gemara over here is telling us that you should put it over the bowl. Look at the top Rashi on the page. V'ridin l'tocha kli, d'nehavi kabbala mehapar shapir. Meaning, that's going to really get us to the point where we want, which is direct blood from the animal into the bowl. V'hai toch lav davka. Now Rashi says, don't read the Gemara too literally. We're not going to actually pull on the pipe and put it into the bowl. Although the truth of the matter is, I would have done that. I would have read the Gemara that literally. Rashi says, not that literally. Lav v'hai toch lav davka. Dehalo efshar. Ela al aviru shal toch kli. What you want to do is you want to get it basically over the airspace. So if you have your kli over here, so you don't want to, right? It's not like a projectile where, you know, I'm going to, here's the animal and here's the gushing blood and I'm going to catch it over here. You really want the animal and the carotid arteries to be as close to the bowl, and the way Rashi understands the Gemara, over the airspace of the bowl so that the blood goes right in there. Okay.
Yeah, the kli has a funnel shape to it, no?
Right. Right. Itmar Nami Amar Vasi Amar Rav Yochanan Vridenstach Shiyiru Avir Kli. And maybe this is what motivates Rashi to tell us that the Gemara is Lav Davka. Because the Gemara says, Itmar Nami, we have a complimentary statement. And in this complimentary statement, it says, Shitzach Shiyiru Avir Kli, has to see the airspace of the Kli. So maybe that's what led Rashi to the conclusion. It doesn't mean literally into the Kli. Okay. I'm a Baimine Rav Asimir Rav Yochanan. Hayim Akabel. Okay. You remember your eighth parak of Gittin, where we threw our get, right? In yeshivas, they love the eighth parak of Gittin. In yeshivas, whenever they learn Gittin, for some reason, it's such a popular mesechta amongst the yeshivas.
Why
is Gittin so popular? Because there's a lot of concepts in there about kinyanim, about acquisition, and okay. It's popular. So, and not only is Gittin popular, but the eighth parak of Gittin is popular because we throw our get. We throw our get into her courtyard, into his courtyard, from the rooftop to him. And basically, a lot of the discussion over there is airspace. Like, how do you understand airspace? Right? Shabbos also, we have this concept as well in terms of Rishus HaYachid. Airspace of Rishus HaYachid. So here, similar types of questions about airspace. How do you understand airspace? Gemara over here has a funny question. The blood goes into the bowl, right? Now, the way the Gemara phrases the question, the bottom of the bowl drops out. Now, the way I described it, it was like a cone. So it's kind of hard to picture like the bottom dropping out. But, again, let's just deal in the abstract. Bottom of the bowl falls out before the blood enters into the airspace of the kli. And the Gemara wants to know, is that considered Kabbalah or not? It's funny because the Gemara says,
huh? It went over
before
and then hit the floor.
Before entering into the toch kli, into the airspace of the kli, meaning if we can draw an imaginary rooftop to the kli, we're talking now before it enters into that, before it goes down into the
through the rim.
Right, passes through the rim.
And then what happened? The bottom falls.
And then the bottom of the kli falls out. So now you know what's going to happen.
What
falls happened? Out, meaning it drops. It.
Like the, oh, you mean part of the clean your hand?
It narrows down, you mean?
It
tapers down.
It means that there's a hole in the bottom of the utensil.
Oh.
There's a hole in the bottom now. And so now you know what's going to happen. In other words, the blood's going to go right through. But what the Gemara is now asking is that considered toch? Did it go into the kli? Because as I explained back in the Mishnah, once it goes into the kli, you're good. Meaning after the kli spills onto the floor, it's fine. You go collect it, it's fine. So the Gemara now wants to know, if it goes into the airspace of the kli, even though it's got no place to land, the bottom fell out, it's got no place to land, is that considered toch? So the Gemara...
The bottomless kli is a kli. The bottomless kli is a kli.
So wait. So by mine Rabbi Yassim Rabbi Yochanan. Hayim Akabel. So you're accepting the bottom. V'nivchesu shulei mizrak. And the bottom of the kli fell out. Ad shelo higi adam la'avir. Before the blood arrived into the airspace, what's the halacha? Now, as Rashi points out, but truth of the matter is, it's really the simple pshat of the Gemara. If the bottom falls out after it enters into the airspace, the Gemara assumes that's fine. Which you didn't have to assume that. Meaning, you could have entertained the question there as well. You could have just simply said, look, if it doesn't hit the bottom of the kli, that's it, it's done. But for some reason, which later on the Gemara is going to come back in question, the Gemara is saying now that this question is only relevant if the bottom fell out before the blood entered into the airspace of the kli.
Find a kli. What is the kli? If it doesn't have a bottom, it's considered
right. Kli. Right. Alvir she'ein sofal anuach kemunach dami, o lo kemunach dami. The way the Gemara articulates the question, you know it's got nowhere to land, but it's in the airspace. Is that kemunach or is that lav kemunach? Is landing in the bottom of the kli, is that a necessary function of defining it as a kli? Okay. Amar le tenisua. So the Gemara says, okay, so come in here. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to quote, I think this is a braisa, I believe it is, regarding the water for the paraduma. Now the water for the paraduma, it has got to be special water. Special water. The Torah describes it as mayim chayim. Living water. Now what does that mean, living water? Mikvah water obviously is no good. It's got to be a natural spring water. Okay, a natural flowing water. Beginning of Parshas Chukas, although I don't know, the Pesukim are really going to help me over here in terms of any more definition. Okay? Right, Nasan Alav Mayim Chaim El Kelly. Okay, fine. So the braisa goes like this. Chavishim neches tachas hazinuk. Mayim. Shebetocha v'shebechutz ala psulim. Sirif pia lezinuk mayim. Shebetocha psulim v'shebechutz ala ksherim. Okay. The braisa describes the following. You have water flowing off a mountain. Natural spring water flowing down from a mountain. Rashi describes sinor ha-mekalech mayim mehar zakuf. The pipe is having water flow from the mountain. So it's a high mountain. V'hakiluch mekalech l'merachok v'nofa l'chavis v'chavizu eina munach hasham l'shem kiddush mechatas. Now eventually, please understand, you're going to have to collect the water at one point in time. Meaning, right, the whole point over here is that I'm going to get this water, I'm going to collect this water, and I'm going to bring it towards the paraduma, so, and then I'm going to mix the ashes together with the water, and good. So at one point or another, obviously I'm going to collect the water. But what we're describing over here is that the barrel at the bottom of this pipe was not there designated to collect it for the para aduma. Once the water goes into the barrel, it loses its status of mayim chayim. Okay, it's no longer considered living water, natural spring water. Okay, good. Right now, let's go through the braisa inside. Chavish munachas tachas azinuk mayim shebesocha. Water that's in the barrel, or even outside the barrel, but in the airspace of the barrel, no good. Sirif pia lezinuk mayim shebesocha psulim ushebechutz alaksherim. If, however, you intercept the water, you accept the water outside of the barrel, that would be fine. Okay.
Before it hits the airspace
of the barrel. Okay? Look at Rashi. Mayim shebetocho shebechutz lapsulim klomar shelo yiten kli letoch avira v'yochzen biyado lekaba bo akiluach lekidosh va'af lo chutzala lemala me'ogneha above the rim keneged avira but in the airspace of the barrel. Dekeva shegiyo mayim keneged avira harehin kemunachim besocho. Once water has entered into the airspace above the rim, so then that's it. It's like it's in the barrel. Upasak lechi yusei. And that's it. That water is no longer alive. Meaning, that water is no longer mayim chayim. Lekidush ama avir kemunach dami. So, you see over here, that airspace is like it's already placed. Now, if I explain the Gemara well, right, which sometimes happens, you realize there's a disconnect between the question and the answer. Total disconnect. Because hi my bai. I'm sorry, hi my. Bai mene avishain sofalanuach. Because the question was, in the case of the Mizrach, there was no bottom. So therefore it was never going to land in the bowl. The kapashale avishain sofalanuach. Now we're using another area of halacha, the collection of the water for the paraduma, but still conceptually, it's similar, but it's not the same. There, the water is going to go into the barrel, but the barrel's got a bottom. So it's not the same. So the Gemara is saying, so what are you doing over here? You're asking a question about, a bottomless bowl in the Beis HaMikdash, and you're answering from a bottom barrel regarding Mayim Chayim. So the Gemara, and we'll finish with this point right now. Tartika b'aymineh. So the Gemara says, really, it's a double question. You're right. You're absolutely right. And the way the question was originally phrased didn't really reveal the whole question. Imtim salama avishin sofal anuach lav kemunach dami avish sofal anuach mai. Oh, it's a question wrapped in a question. Meaning, look, if the mizrach doesn't have a bottom to it, so good. So let's assume, meaning I'll ask the question, but let's even assume that it's considered like it's eino munach, which makes sense, by the way, because it doesn't have a bottom to it. What if it does have a bottom to it? What now I'm going to ask you, airspace over a bowl that has a bottom to it, is that considered like it's munach? And now we can go to the question of the case of chavis and answer from there. Okay, so that is one way to articulate the question. So again, right now we left ourselves off with a question of airspace. Is airspace over the bowl, airspace over the barrel, is that considered like it's already munach, like it's already there? So at this point in time, the question is being raised. The question is kicked around here in the case of collecting the bowl from the animal. The question is asked regarding Mayim Chaim of the Parah Aduma. Okay, we'll continue this discussion tomorrow.